Imagine being trapped in perpetual darkness, surrounded by endless ice that groans and shifts beneath your feet like a living thing. The year is 1845, and Sir John Franklin leads two ships, HMS Terror and HMS Erebus, into the Arctic to discover the fabled Northwest Passage. Despite their technological advantages, steam engines, central heating, and provisions for 3 years, they are woefully unprepared for what awaits. Captain Francis Crozier, an experienced polar navigator with a drinking problem and broken heart, serves as second in command, his Irish background marking him as an outsider in the class-conscious Royal Navy. By October 1847, disaster has struck. Both ships are hopelessly trapped in ice. Franklin has died under mysterious circumstances, leaving the embittered Crozier in command of 126 increasingly desperate men. Their food supplies, thousands of canned duds, were improperly sealed by a corrupt contractor, slowly poisoning the crew. Worse still, something is stalking them on the ice, a massive creature that combines the worst features of a polar bear with something far more ancient and malevolent. When spring fails to bring the expected thaw, Crozier makes the fateful decision to abandon the ships and march south, a journey of over 800 miles across the most inhospitable terrain on Earth. The Tunbach transcends mere predator status. It's a godlike entity from Inuit mythology that embodies the Arctic's rejection of European interlopers. Appearing as an enormous white bear walking upright, it possesses near-human intelligence and deliberately torments the men before killing them. Initially mistaken for an unusually large polar bear after claiming Lieutenant Gore, the crew soon realizes they face something incomprehensible as deaths become increasingly gruesome. The Tunbach mutilates victims, sometimes arranging half-consumed bodies in ritualistic displays that devastate morale. The creature's mysterious relationship with Lady Silence, a mute Inuit woman whose tongue was removed in childhood, reveals her role as a spirit governor who communicates with the Tunbach through ritual throat singing. This supernatural element underscores a powerful theme, how cultural arrogance and environmental hubris led these technologically advanced Victorian Britons to their doom against both natural forces and an ancient predator they unwittingly provoked. How quickly civilization crumbles in extreme circumstances. The expedition begins with all the ceremonial grandeur of the British Royal Navy, gleaming brass buttons, pressed uniforms, Sunday services. Within 2 years, these same men transform into desperate souls capable of unspeakable acts, their principles eroded by the merciless Arctic. Captain Crozier embodies this disintegration. As disaster mounts, he demonstrates extraordinary strength by forcing himself into sobriety through sheer willpower, enduring horrific withdrawal while leading his remaining men through the crisis. The officers organize elaborate theatrical performances, including the ironically prophetic Macbeth. They celebrate holidays with rationed provisions, maintain routines long after they've lost meaning, and hold a disastrous carnival on the ice, their final attempt at normalcy before it ends when the Tunbach attacks. As food dwindles and scurvy takes hold, the expedition fractures. Cornelius Hickey, a caulker's mate with sociopathic tendencies, emerges as a human antagonist whose calculated violence reveals a darkness predating their Arctic ordeal. His faction eventually mutinies, leading to disturbing scenes of cannibalism. Through Lady Silence and other Inuit characters, we discover a profound counterpoint to the European worldview. The Inuit have thrived for generations in the harsh environment that's destroying the British expedition. They possess sophisticated knowledge, accumulated through millennia of practical experience, that the officers tragically dismiss as primitive. Lady Silence evolves from a mysterious figure viewed with superstition into a fully realized person guided by complex cultural frameworks and deep ecological wisdom. Her relationships with Lieutenant Irving and Captain Crozier reveal both possibilities and challenges of bridging vast cultural divides. The expedition's catastrophic failure stems from Victorian hubris, the belief that European technology could triumph over any environment, regardless of local conditions or indigenous knowledge. This arrogance appears in rejecting Inuit hunting techniques, maintaining impractical naval protocols, and dismissing warnings about natural and supernatural dangers. Crozier's transformation carries symbolic weight. His journey from proud British captain to Tallarictug, living among the Inuit, represents a personal and cultural surrender that paradoxically becomes his salvation. The psychological toll of extreme isolation permeates every page. Cut off from civilization in the endless Arctic winter darkness, the men's minds fracture. Paranoia creeps in like the cold, hallucinations become common, and reality blurs through sensory deprivation. Dreams and visions are crucial, particularly for Crozier, whose haunting premonitions suggest extreme conditions might open doorways to perception normally closed to the rational mind. Some men see loved ones walking across the ice. Others glimpse impossible creatures lurking in the endless night. The ships themselves become living characters, especially Terror, which creaks under ice pressure like a living thing in pain. Abandoning them represents both a psychological and physical threshold crossed. Scurvy affects not just bodies but minds, causing personality changes, night blindness, and terrifying hallucinations. Social order collapses alongside individual psyches as rank and civilization gradually surrender to primitive survival instincts. How does one maintain humanity when survival requires increasingly inhuman actions? This question manifests differently across characters. Dr. Goodseer embodies moral principle, refusing to participate in cannibalism even when captured by Hickey's faction. His suicide, poisoning himself to make his flesh toxic to those who would consume him, represents both resistance and mercy. Crozier makes utilitarian calculations as commander, deciding who might survive and who must be sacrificed. His decision to abandon the weakest at rescue camp haunts him while giving stronger men their only chance. Hickey represents morality's complete abandonment. While his faction initially justifies cannibalism as survival, he relishes the power his transgressions provide, creating a hierarchy based on cruelty. The novel avoids easy judgments. Even as we recoil from Hickey's atrocities, we understand his followers' desperation. While we admire Goodseer's principles, we recognize they ensure his death. In this frozen hell, survival and moral purity prove largely incompatible. The Terror meditates on colliding worldviews. The Tunbach isn't merely a monster, but a being with a complex relationship to the Inuit people, who coexist with it through ritual and sacrifice, a relationship built on observation, respect, and understanding of the balance between realms. The Franklin expedition violates spiritual boundaries that have existed for millennia. The Tunbach responds to this transgression, provoked when the men kill polar bears or disrupt the land with their technology. In a powerful reversal, Crozier undergoes ritual transformation to become a spirit governor, inverting the colonial narrative. Rather than conquering the Arctic, he surrenders to it, sacrificing his tongue and former identity. This suggests survival required cultural humility, not technological superiority, a lesson learned too late for most. The Terror haunts us because it reveals that the most frightening monsters are often self-created. Through institutional corruption, rigid protocols, or embracing our darkest impulses, human decisions prove as deadly as any supernatural creature. The true terror lies in the wilderness of the human heart.